Now it's time for the Beach Perspective with me, JB.
Hey, we're glad to have you back. Calling in the studio tonight and live with us is a talented actor, a producer, a director, a musician, and also a good friend. He was born and raised in Malibu, California, and his mom, Judy, and Gary raised him there. And as a child, he was on many film sets and toured with his dad that also played him in several bands. At the age of 5, he actually, started acting and playing the drums. His first debut film was Straight Time with his dad and Dustin Hoffman. And since then, he was opposite Jodie Foster in Contact. He was Ace in Starship Troopers. We've seen him in The War of the Worlds. We've seen him in Tomcats. We've seen him in Identity, The Hitcher 2, The Frighteners, Roadhouse, The Cross, The Spirited Journey, Christmas with the Cranks, Enemy of the State, The Killing Jar, Fast Sofa, Peace and Riot, Crazy Eye. And don't forget that he's also been on TV. And anytime I turn on the TV, it's CSI Miami, Comanche Moon, The Mentalist, The Good Guys, CSI New York, The Closer, The Finder. It's one thing or another. And one of my favorites, though, was an MTV show that he was on called Good Vibes, where he played the role of Turk. And, on top of that, he's currently filming a film and also in post-production with 3 others. He's promised me that he will try to make it into Dallas, into the studio, at least a few times in the month, and I think it'd be pretty awesome if he did. He's also an ordained minister, and he builds some really kick-butt original bikes that really do haul. And he has a unique perspective, and he's going to give it to us. And his perspective is called the Beach Perspective. And I'm happy to have him with us tonight. Please give it up for Jake Busey. Jake, it's so glad to have you on the air. How you doing?
Hey, good. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the air. God, that list of stuff makes it sound like I'm busy or something. My goodness.
You are busy. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm actually a little bit wiped out. I had a long week. I've been doing some favors for some friends along the week and trying to get my little bike company off the ground and doing my auditions for future roles. Being an actor, you're basically, you're always unemployed. You're always on the job hunt. I do probably 200 job interviews annually. So
that's a lot.
It can be a little stressful, and that stress can kind of work you out. But I had a great day today with my mom. She lives a couple hours away from me up the coast. And so we had a wonderful Mother's Day. And
that's great.
Yeah, it was real nice.
What did y'all end up doing?
We went out for some fish tacos. We went to a little restaurant called Sharky's and took some fish tacos back to my stepdad. He's waiting for a lung transplant, so he didn't get out of the house too much.
No, I know. Is he still waiting for that transplant?
Yeah, they did a thing where they went to UCLA Med Center a week and a half ago, and the Med Center calls up and they tell you that they got a lung donor and that the lung is on its way. So they get the patient down to the hospital and into the surgery, the OR, prepped and ready for anesthesia and ready to be cut open. And then as soon as the lung gets there, they open up the thermos that it comes in, and they look and they determine whether or not it's viable. And unfortunately, this one, the first time, it didn't work for him. Mm. So he's still waiting, but he's next on the list. So
he's next on the list.
Yeah, he was in Vietnam, and he dealt with he was Special Forces, and he dealt with a lot of weird gases, and he was exposed to a lot of toxic chemicals and elements. So he's at a young age, he's had some pretty massive lung failure.
I remember you telling me, a while back about, the beginning of this and your stepdad going through all this. And I think you know this, but you were actually one of the reasons why I quit smoking.
I didn't realize that.
Because when you were telling me about, how stupid that is for some people that are trying to wait for a lung and there you are, just killing your lungs. That was, I quit cold and I've kind of run from that ever since.
Congratulations. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's been since November, actually.
Well, that is awesome. I had to get my girlfriend pregnant to get her to quit smoking. So
that's awesome.
I didn't have to come to that with you. At least you just took it with
that's great.
Verbal abuse.
Yeah, when you told me that, I kind of took it to heart, and I was like, okay, it just happened. I was actually getting my master life training coach out there in Venice. The last day I woke up, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to smoke anymore. I had a little bit of help, inhalers and stuff like that you get from your doctor.
Right.
And that helped, after that second week when you look at everybody else smoking. And now it doesn't really bug me that much. So, but we do hope for the best for your stepdad. And I'd like you to keep us abreast of that, too, because I think that's really important.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay, on this beach perspective, I think a lot of people would like to just hear some stuff about you. You have all this stuff going on. Like last night when I talked to you on the phone, you were filming a film.
Yeah, I was doing some reshoots, actually, on a film that we did last year. It's called Devil's Dozen. And it's a small movie. It's a friend of mine's second opportunity to direct a film. It's a smaller budget deal. It's a genre picture. It's basically, it's 12 people in purgatory. They've all passed away. There's sort of a figure that comes in. We don't know whether it's positive or negative, you know, or God or Satan or whatever, but this figure says, okay, you 12 people have to figure out who deserves to go on to heaven and who deserves to go on downstairs to hell.
Wow.
And it's an interesting thing. So it's basically 12 Angry Men meets Saw.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's cool, you know, to make a film happen and make it work and tell a story where the whole thing takes place in one room. That's a pretty heavy task. You know, in attempting that, we needed to have some cutaways for the audience to have a break from the room,
right,
as well as to show some of the backstory on some of the actors. So last night we worked till, actually we got out of there early. We were only there till about 1 a.m. We were just doing some cutaway backstory flashbacks for some of the characters. So
that was
what I was up to.
So you've done everything. I mean, you've been in feature films, you've been in TV, you've even done, you know, the voices for some animation cartoons and films as well. Do you have any type of favorite, or do you just like the craft and the talent itself?
Well, I like the craft and the talent itself. You know, Halloween was always my favorite holiday. So
that is one of my favorites, too.
You know, it's more of an occasion. But, you know, I like the whole idea of being someone else. And I think a lot of that, playing a different character, being someone else, had to do with, first of all, growing up in an environment where I was watching actors perform on a daily basis, and being on a film set, to me, that was normal life, and that was home, and that and still is. And I am a child of the circus, and I'm still in the circus.
Right.
And I'm a circus performer grown up, and here we are talking about it on the radio. But one of the interesting things is, though, in being a performer and portraying a character, you're pretty much an armchair psychologist, because
yeah, you are.
In developing a character, you look at a page and there's dialogue that a writer has written. A writer has created a character, and you must interpret this. And that's why plays are performed for so many years in so many different ways with so many different cast members, because there are so many ways that you can interpret from a different perspective what character that character is.
Right.
You know, and it's your point of view. So the thing is,
that's very true.
In doing so, you have to figure out what motivates a person to behave in a certain way.
That's so true.
You know, what with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and what, you know, who blames who and who kills what for what, and what reasons are the, you know, is it a family reason? Is it a personal motivation? Is it vindictive? Is it greed? And all those things. People behave certain ways because of experiences they've had in their life and the reaction to the current situation based on the knowledge from the experience.
Right.
If you're following me.
Oh, I totally follow you.
the perspective of that character. But each person has their own interpretation because of how we were brought up, how we were raised, the environment we were in. It gets us into the conversation of nature versus nurture.
Right.
It gets us into the conversation of, okay, can a child from an impoverished inner-city background grow up and make it as a successful business person? Can they become the president? Can they become an astronaut? You know,
no, that's true. It's like about environment, it's about upbringing. Your upbringing too is so different from, you know, you take somebody that wasn't raised with a famous dad, wasn't raised in the Hollywood, wasn't raised in Malibu. Totally different type of scenario, as well as things that you've gone through, because a lot of people feel like, you know, being a Hollywood star, it's so cool, and it really is, but I think sometimes maybe film stars have to deal a little bit more with, you know, finding true people and putting the right people around them, even more so than people that aren't.
Yeah, and I don't like to think of myself as a film star as much as I think of myself as an actor, and as an actor, I work in film, and some people call it a star, but you know, as my father from Texas says, you know, a star is just a giant ball of gas ready to explode at any time. So, you know, that's a pretty good one. But
that is a good one.
I don't quote my dad very often, but that's, you know, that came to mind. But anyway,
that was good.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting cat, you know.
Say the least.
But growing up in the environment that I did with him and in that interesting cat sort of background and arena, I guess one from the outside could look and say, oh, gifted life, you know.
Right.
Had everything to him. And you know, it's not...
Okay. I can't wait to have you back next week. There's so many things that I want to cover, and there's so many things that I know people want to know about. You know, your beach perspective is going to be a very interesting perspective, covering so many topics. I'm just so thrilled to have you on tonight.
Thanks for having me on your first. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Can't wait to hear more of your perspective, because that's what this show's all about. It's all about the individual perspective.
Well, give me a call on a Sunday sometime.
Well, I think I will. Where are you next Sunday around 8:30,
8 o'clock? I'll be with you.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. Well, thank you so much, sweetheart. And right now, thank you. You have a good night, sweetie. I think this was a great first show. We got James in the studio. We had Jake call in. And we're going to have a lot of interesting perspectives on this show. Go on to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on Facebook. Or you can, you know, friend me or the Live Your True Life on Facebook or the liveyourtruelife.org. And send me a message. Send me a question. If you have a question about anything, we can talk about it. And James, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And we appreciate it. Y'all have a great night. And we can't wait to see you and to be with you next Sunday at 8 o'clock on 570 KLAF with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We appreciate you. You have a great night and happy Mother's Day.